Good evening, all.
Hey, guys. It's good to be here tonight.
We do want to also jump on the bandwagon with Ken there, with appreciating Larry's diligence in research and giving his best. So thank you, Larry.
Thank you, Larry.
And we finished off where we were on page 30.
Right.
I go by pages. A lot of people go by verses and chapters and whatnot. I go by pages. I'm on the top of page 30.
Should we start with a prayer first, honey? Would you mind reading it?
Okay.
Let's drop him in again.
Yeah. We're going to talk about, we're always talking about the same thing. We call it different names and so tonight I'll just call it trust and being clear, being not interfering, and being the spacious, the spaciousness where it's just a link in a beautiful chain of love, and that's what we're hoping that we can do here this evening. So thanks, and amen.
Amen. Thanks, Tom. That's great. Okay.
All right, we're going to start at top of page 30. You must trust me above all that you think and hear and see. You must put me above yourself and your world. And you do this by your choice, by selecting the thoughts you will believe and the thoughts you will let go. Thoughts of love and thoughts of fear are in your mind now. Where will you choose to put your faith?
Let me say something. Yeah. It's really sweet. When we were reading that first paragraph, it's talking about trust and putting your trust in inner wisdom or Jesus or guidance, and putting your trust in that higher wisdom over the trust that you've always put in yourself. And that's what's being talked about here. And why does it take trust to move to a thought system that is not defending the self? And that's because that's what that fear is about. We fear if we give up our own ideas of how things should be done. You know, we think we know what we need to do to protect ourselves. And so you're being asked to give up all those self-protective thoughts, those me against him thoughts, and really just put your trust in a higher thought system. So that's what's going on there, I think.
Yeah, I've been going through that a bit myself, and it's just start looking at that. There's thoughts of love and thoughts of fear are in your mind now. Where will you choose to put your faith? And the thoughts of love are very subtle. The thoughts of fear, they're not subtle at all. They seem like they're established and they're very tangible, and there's something to hold on to there, and something where I can conceptualize things and put meaning into stuff. And the thoughts of love has none of that. There's no gravity center. It's just free floating and undefined and a lot of times looking at that, it appears to be a void, and I just gotta I was just telling Jacqueline, I gave up smoking, I guess, about 2 weeks ago. And just before I came on, I told her, I said, I'm going out for a cigarette. And I know it's just looking for something, really looking for something to hold on to, something to some identity, you know, something to I don't know, something to hold on to, something tangible, something I can look forward to, that the eye can look forward to. So it's just there's a lot of that's going on, and I expect it. It's not going to stop anytime soon.
Yeah, that's really sweet. Thanks, Tom, for your honesty. You know, yeah, that's a good point. I mean, you know, you think we want to think in these grand terms of fear and separation and all these big words, but you know, but we experience it every day. We really experience the fear of, you know, that existential fear, right? You know, the fear that I'll get online, for example, and not know what to say, or you know, and that's the constant defense of the self that we do. We're always, you know, let me protect you, little self, and make everything okay. And you're being asked to quit listening to that counsel. We're all being asked. I'm being asked to quit listening to that counsel, and listen for another voice. And that's the choice that I'm being asked to make. And, you know, that should sound familiar. That's Course in Miracles stuff as well as NTI. That's the choice we're being asked to make.
Thank you. That's really beautiful. This is what I am telling you. If you seek confusion and fear, you will find it. For the world breeds confusion and fear. But if it is truth and clarity that you seek, I offer it to you now. Let go of everything that is not the gift I offer. Accept only my gift. In this way, the treasure of heaven is yours. The sorting of thoughts is the work that must be done. This is the moment-to-moment choice you must make. Where will you put your faith?
You know, this is, let me interrupt again. This is so good, because I was thinking about this issue of faith today in preparation for our retreat. I know Brent Haskell is going to teach on that faith. And so this is what this is talking about. It's like, okay, so this takes what? This takes courage to give up your defense system, takes trust, it takes faith. Because what it says here is, you know, if you expect to find confusion and fear, that's what you'll find. Okay, so you have to, so it takes that courage and that faith to step out there even before it's your regular experience.
Thank you. You know, I looking at that, I look at it, and the sorting of thoughts. You know, there's it's really the thoughts are to shoot. The choice is think to think or not to think, and that is the question, So the where will you put your faith? It's very difficult to put your faith in silence. It seems to be in the experience that this consciousness has gone through. But I feel like it's always saying, just be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. You know, it seems like that void is really it's really right there. So it's not easy to put your faith in silence, but that's what's asking. That's the work that must be done. If you ask me to help you make your choice, I will help. I will lead you along the path and point your choices out to you. Let me help. Depend on me. Depend upon me. put yourself in my hands, and I will tell you where to look. There is nothing that is to remain hidden in your mind as the work of sorting is done. Do not be afraid. Do not hide thoughts from the work. All thoughts must be brought out from the corners of your mind into my light, and there they shall be judged. I will judge your thoughts for you, but you must make the choice.
Yeah, of course, there's that I am bad thought. I mean, why would we hide our thoughts, right? This thought is so bad that I can't even bring it out and look at it myself. So that would be why we would be tempted to have these thoughts. And we've all done it. And then you realize at some point later, you're like, oh, wow, I guess I really was in denial about that when you're finally ready to deal with it.
Hmm. Yeah, and, you know, it's really revealing when I realize that the only thing that the I thought fears is thought. That's it. It is afraid of itself. It's afraid of itself. The I thought is a composite of thoughts, and the only thing that the I thought is afraid of is itself.
It's more
thoughts. It is yourself that I have asked you to lay aside, and it is on this choice that your father waits to give you his gift. You know yourself and your world as your home, and although you are afraid, you have become comfortable there. I ask you to give up your home and all that you know, that I may give you your true self and true home. I offer more than comfort within a world of fear. I offer the peace and knowing of God. It is your choice, but I will help you with your choice if you choose to walk with me.
Yeah, and that section, it kind of reminds me of that, if you've seen the movie Revolver, it reminds me of that elevator scene, because this is what ego would do for you. Ego will tell you, oh, we're in this little place, we're so afraid, I'm gonna protect you, I got you, when it's all the time, exactly what Tom was saying a moment ago, it's the ego that's generating these thoughts, and going, oh, we'll be okay, I'll protect you. But if the ego would it's creating its own problems. And if you just quit listening to the voice altogether, then you wouldn't need its counsel. And that's what this is saying. It's like, look, I can offer you a lot more than comforting you in a world of fear. If you just get rid of this thought system, you get rid of the fear and the need for comfort. That's the truth of who you are. That's the knowing of God, the peace and knowing of God.
That's beautiful, yeah, and thank you for that. And it's that the crossing over from one land to another. It's being on that bridge. That's, you know, like I just feel like I just had a bridge moment just before. Jacqueline told me, you know, I was going to go out and have a cigarette. I really wanted the cigarette. I wanted that comfort. I really wanted that comfort. And that's, you know, I'm grateful to be able to speak about it, and just not to, I'm grateful that I didn't smoke. You know, if I did, I did, but I'm grateful that I didn't, because I need moments of conviction that I can make it over that bridge. The temptations of comfort are many, and especially on what sometimes feels like a barren road, you know. We keep marching along. I'm gonna start with we got some Bible reading to do.
We got some Bible reading to do. Let me get up there and read. So we're in NTI, Matthew chapter 14 is on page 31 of NTI. And let me see if I can get to the Bible verse. Okay, so it's Matthew chapter 14, verses 1 through 12. John the Baptist beheaded. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the reports about Jesus, and he said to his attendants, "This is John the Baptist. He has risen from the dead. That is why miraculous powers are at work in him." Now Herod had arrested John and bound him and put him in prison because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. For John had been saying to him, "It is not lawful for you to have her." Herod wanted to kill John, but he was afraid of the people, because they considered John a prophet. On Herod's birthday, the daughter of Herodias danced for the guest and pleased Herod so much that he promised with an oath to give her whatever she asked. Prompted by her mother, she said, "Give me here on a platter the head of John the Baptist." The king was distressed, but because of his oaths and his dinner guests, he ordered that her request be granted and had John beheaded in the prison. His head was brought in on a platter and given to the girl, who carried it to her mother. John's disciples came and took his body and buried it. Then they went and told Jesus.
All right. Thanks for the hardcore version.
Yeah, that's a happy little story.
All right. John the Baptist was beheaded out of fear, and so it is your fear you must be aware of. Fear was made to keep you from joining with God. Put your fear aside, and you will know miracles that will increase your faith. Even in your life on earth, you will know me, and so you will know it is me, and you will be more willing to walk toward me. But first, you must give me faith and trust. You must do as I ask to know miracles at work in your life.
Yeah, I just want to, you know, that idea about even in your life on earth, you will know me, and so you will know it is me. And therefore you'll be more willing to walk toward me. That's just the idea of that, you know, in your heart, you know, the truth in your heart, the truth of who you are, you know, the truth of the calling, you know what that's about. And so that's what you're willing to follow. And that's what's being referenced here, I think.
All right. I was watching a movie last night, and it was really a kind of a dark movie, and it seemed like one character was terribly cruel to another character, and the other character, the character who was the object of being of the rudeness, would appear to be the innocent one, died at the end of the movie at the hand of this other one. And I was really kind of involved in the movie, but at the end, when they died, and when it seemed like it was so unjust, and then I saw the face of this character one last time, and I realized that as soon as she dropped that role and that body and that character, the other person was forgiven immediately and fully. So it was just really something to watch, that we can have that here on earth. We don't have to wait to experience that forgiveness of everything, every concern that this woman had evaporated in that one instant, and all was forgiven. And so when I was reading this, it just kind of pointed me to that movie as I watched last night.
Cool.
It is fear that I want to talk to you about today. For fear can seem to be a very real obstacle on your path to me. Although I can help you with your fear, it is you that must overcome it. For it is your fear, and I cannot take that which is yours from you. You must willingly let go of your fear. You must choose me over it to know it is nothing to keep you from me. It's interesting because earlier it spoke about fear being chosen as a way to keep, fear was made to keep us from joining with God. So we made it with a purpose. That's what it's saying. That fear was made to keep you from joining with God. Obviously, it's got some evolutionary effects that go along with it, but it was actually made with an intention to keep us from joining with God. So what we're being asked to do now is obviously we want to know our oneness, because this separateness is, it's really not working. So we're just being asked to let go of that fear, something that which we created. And again, fear is synonymous with the I thought, so we're being asked to let go of the I thought. Seems to be a real comfortable place. Also, I know myself as this human being called Tom, and I'm used to the things that he wants, and he's used, you know, the things that make him comfortable, and that's, you know, you must choose me over this to know nothing can keep you from me. Okay, we'll go on to NTI Matthew chapter 15. Look into your heart for the purpose of what you do. For it is not what you do that is important, but why you do it. In your search for me, you agonize over choices in the world. You want to know if it is right that you do this, or if it would be better that you do that. I say, do what you choose in peace and in purpose, and I will use what you do. All things of this world are temporal. I'm just going to actually go right back to that last. I love that paragraph right there. And I mean, it's really cool if you can hear, and it's great if you have that have established if that has evolved in you the ability to hear that voice and to apply it, not so much really to apply it, we all choose to apply it, but really to be able to hear it so clearly. But what this says is that, okay, if you can't do that, you know, if you don't hear it like that, then just do what you would do. And, you know, following your heart. Now, you know, I don't think there's any, there's not a vicious person in this room, probably, I'm not saying that there's vicious other, you know, people outside this room. But just do what we would do without putting so much emphasis on, oh, you know, because that's just another, entering the loop again. It's oh, am I doing this right? Am I doing the right thing here? What do you think? Look, you see what I'm doing, you know, and it's like, just do it, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Just let it be used.
Yeah, and that's the bottom line. Just let it be used. So it's not about it's not about what we do. It's about what's it for. You know, am I using this as a way of finding my true self, rejoining with God? I mean, however you want to put it, is that where my purpose is? And if that's your purpose, you're good to go. You know, mm-hmm. You don't need to worry about the rest of it, right?
Right, exactly. That's perfect. Yeah, that's really simple. All things of this world are temporal. So how important can they be? Yeah. Boldened right there. All things of this world are temporal, so how important can they be? They will not last, so do not agonize over them. It is you that is eternal. And so it is your thoughts, your wishes, and your purpose that matters.
Of course, that paragraph reminds me of A Course in Miracles. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God.
And it's really, that's it. We continue to take this world so seriously, you know, and everything that goes on in it. And like I said, it was a real gift, that movie last night, just watching it and knowing that when she made that, you know.
It was all gone, yeah.
It was just, you know, no concerns.
All was forgiven.
Yeah, all was forgiven, exactly. If you put your faith in the temporal, your thoughts and wishes and purpose are focused there. So your heart is there also. I want to get back to that, and I will get back to that. I'm going to
go. Well, I certainly have something to say.
Yeah.
We were just talking about this, you know, do you mind if I go?
Go right ahead.
And, you know, it's that age-old question, or the question that, well, I don't know about age-old, but it's the question that I have heard since I've been seriously on this path, and that is the one of, can you be a CEO and become enlightened? And it's not that, and the general answer to that is, well, you know, depends on who you ask, I guess, but it's like, no. And so why is that? And it's not because, it's not because that what that says about you as a person or any silly thing like that. The point is the choices that you, the things that you focus on in this world. I'm kind of getting lost in this. I was just talking about this earlier.
Yeah.
And it's ego is a problem solver. That's what ego does. And so that's what this world is. So when you work 40 hours a week, that's what you're doing with your mind. So your focus, it kind of stays on, this is my experience after going back to work. But it seems like my focus is just in a different place. That's all I have to say about it. If I have something
else, yeah. No, that's exactly right, because you return to the silence. That's what I see with this. Just even the beginning of this paragraph speaks so loudly to me. If you put your faith in the temporal, your thoughts and wishes and purposes are focused there. So your heart is there also.
Yes.
So your heart is there, but it's there as a good person. That's who we start to want to be. We want to be a good person. We want to know ourselves as reliable, as somebody who's conscientious, somebody who's got good judgment, who can look at the political climate and make proper informed choices. And that becomes real. That becomes the reality, and it becomes hypnotizing, mesmerizing. And the silence drifts away. The silence is gone. So the heart becomes focused on being a good person. And being a good person is not fulfilling. Not to me anyway. I have lived with the nice guy label my whole life, and that's cool. I heard Adi Sante said it. I got this nice guy thing going on. It's like, yeah, I got the same thing going on too, you know, but that doesn't do it. That just doesn't cut it. It's like, there's so much deeper to go than just being a nice guy or a nice girl. So we're going to continue here. A heart focused in the temporal will know itself as temporal, and so it will know death. It will know it is lost, and it will know the fear of being lost, but it will not know that being found is the answer to its fear. And so it will continue to run and hide, and it will become further lost. The only way to be found is to step away from the dark and know the light. This is why you must not focus on the temporal. The temporal is the darkness in which you are lost. Turn away from it, and you will see me in the light. And the reference to death there, I thought it was a heart focused in the temporal will know itself as in temporal, and so it will know death. And to me, what the spirit is saying here is anything that knows death, there cannot be any peace there. There can be no peace where death is known. So it will know it is lost. It will know the fear of being lost, but it will not know that being found is the answer to its fear. The thing about this death, this concept of death that we have, which is the termination, the cessation of breath, the termination of the body, the end of all these concerns, all these things about defending and protecting and identifying with, and all of that's gone in an instant. And this is where, in the West especially, I think we have this opposite thinking where death is this big boogeyman. And meanwhile, what this course is having to try to understand is all of that. We need to. It's important for us to let that go before the body goes. To choose to let it go. The body will go at any rate. So we will know that peace eventually. What we're being asked to do is, before we let go of the body, realize that peace. Make that choice willingly. Die to the body now. Die to the personality now.
Yeah. Die before you die.
Right.
And that is awakening. Yeah. I think that's what they mean when they say awakening.
Sweet. You will be tempted to use my word for purposes of the world. Do not be fooled by this temptation. It is only your desire to hold on to yourself and your world, which is your desire to hide from your fear.
Let me see what Larry wrote.
Oh, thank you.
Read what Larry wrote.
This is from Larry, Alan the same. The ego is a monkey catapulting through the jungle. Totally fascinated by the realm of the senses, it swings from one desire to the next, one conflict to the next, one self-centered idea to the next. If you threaten it, it actually fears for its life. Let this monkey go. Let the senses go. Let desires go. Let conflicts go. Let ideas go. Let the fiction of life and death go. Just remain in the center, watching. And then forget that you are there. Taoist Wang Fao. That's beautiful. That is really... really to
come on, just sorry. Look at that again.
To really it let this monkey go. Let the senses go. Let desires go. Let conflicts go. Let ideas go. Let the fiction of life and death go.
Wow.
Okay, when you let all that go, see what remains. Well, and see what remains in this center, and watch that. That's really beautiful. Thank you for sharing that, Larry.
Let the fiction of life and death go out. That's perfect.
Yeah. Okay, so
the Canaanite woman. We were supposed to read from the Bible there, verses 21 through 28. It's got that little symbol of the Bible, and the idea is if you'll read, do you see right there?
No.
On page 32, verses 21 through 28, so a little picture of the Bible. So the idea is, in NTI, it's helpful if we, if we read from, that's what that symbol means.
Right, so, yeah, I just thought.
So let me go to right here, Matthew chapter 15, and it's verses 21 through 28. This is the faith of the Canaanite woman. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Jesus did not answer a word, so his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment.
Okay, so I'm going to return to the top there. "You will be tempted to use my word for purposes of the world. Do not be fooled by this temptation. It is only your desire to hold on to yourself and your world, which is your desire to hide from your fear."
I mean, that sounds a lot like what you were saying a while ago about being a nice person, right? Mm-hmm. Or it could be referring to spiritual ego.
Right.
You know, so, okay, I'll get really good at this.
Right, right.
Then I will have earned my keep.
Yeah.
Then I will be somebody.
Mm. Yeah. Right, and it's just that conditioning. Even we've made the choice and we continue to, it talks about making the choice. We keep making that choice. Have to keep making the choice because we don't make this choice just once. It has to be consistently made because temptation comes at every moment until it doesn't. The Canaanite woman represents the world. In her asking, she is refused because my purpose is not of the world. Know that my refusal was not a rebuke of the Canaanite woman. I hold no one as guilty and outside myself, but my purpose must be one, or it would not be itself. The Spirit of God is one.
Yeah, so that strikes me as, you know, again, it's not about... So if you're asking for assistance to make yourself feel better about yourself, to confirm this self-image that you've created, you're not going to get a lot of assistance from inner wisdom, from Jesus, from Holy Spirit. That's not really going to happen because that's not the Holy Spirit's purpose in the world. That's been your purpose. And so what you're going to try and do is take all these teachings and everything that you're learning and you're going to try to bend them also to your purpose of fortifying your self-image. And we always have to fortify our self-image because it's not who we are. It always needs bolstering and, you know, and cuffing up, right? So we're going to take even this stuff that's really designed to help lead us out of our delusion of who we are, and we try and use this to just keep doing what we've always done with everything else in order to bolster ourselves and our self-image.
Yeah. Excellent. Thank you.
So the idea is, you know, but the Spirit of God is one. So, you know, that's where the Holy Spirit, I'm going to be focused on everybody. I'm not going to you know, stop and you know, say, yeah, you're a great person, right? I'm not gonna bolster your self-image. I'm gonna be focused on one and bringing you home to that realization, and bringing your brother home to that realization, and bringing that brother home, and bringing that brother home.
Right, yeah. And it kind of goes to, just as you were saying that, it kind of brings me back to God is no respecter of persons.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Because you'd be respecter of
nothing.
Right. Right. On reality of the illusion. Right. All right.
Okay.
Thank you. And then the woman showed her love for my purpose in her willingness to accept what is given without asking for more. She showed that she loved God and sought only the glory of God.
You see, sorry to interrupt, but so what is it? She showed her love for my purpose in her willingness to accept what is given without asking for more. What is that? That's total allowance. That's who we really are. We're total allowance. We allow all things to be exactly as they are. That's you know, what we are is love, and love is extension, and that's a total extension rather than contraction, because the contraction is who we're not, right? So that's exactly what this is talking about. She showed her love for my purpose and her willingness to accept what is given without asking for more.
Yeah, and in that I see a real humility in her also, because there's times when I feel like I've been asking and I've gotten the silent treatment, which is, you know, and when I really get down to the truth of it is that I know that it's all there, and that if I'm not experiencing it, it's because I'm not willing to receive it. And to me, that's kind of like what she was doing also, that she's willingness to accept what is given without asking for more, because she knows that if she's not receiving it, it's just because she is not ready to receive it all yet. So that's kind of, I can identify with that. And I'll continue here. Love cannot say no to a request for love. And a request to accept God's glory is love requesting love. And so the woman's daughter was healed to show that miracles are given to those who are willing to accept God's glory as it is and for what it is. When you listen to the thoughts of the world within your mind, when your purpose is different from mine, you cannot sit at my table and feast on my knowledge. The Spirit of God is one. And again, that reminds me of a biblical phrase. Jesus said, where I am going, you cannot come. And it was because there was a different purpose. There were people trying to become better people, and then Jesus had transcended the world. He had overcome the world. That just reminded me of that particular verse.
Yeah, and this reminds me too of A Course in Miracles spends how many chapters? Somebody used to tell us all the time, how many chapters on specialness. On specialness. And that's what this is talking about.
Yeah.
If you're looking to be special,
right,
you're in the wrong place.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Right. Because again, the Spirit of God is one. That's
right.
What this is
right.
Talking about.
Yes.
What you said, God is no respecter of persons.
Right.
The Spirit of God is one. And that's the purpose. That's the answer. That's the end result. That's the purpose. It's to recognize and remember our oneness.
Right.
So if you're asking me to show you how special you are, you know, that's 180 degrees, the opposite direction.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
Because the Spirit of God is one.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And just to underscore what you're saying is that we share this one awareness. We just share this one awareness. And we've all been given this one gift of awareness. We all have this one gift of awareness. And each soul has used it in a in an apparently different way, in a form-like way that is different. But it's always, where did it come from? What is the source? And that's where my focus always needs to be, is that what is the source? What is the source here? What are these differences? Watching some of the political stuff going on, and I refer to that because it's really a wealth of opportunity right there, just to look upon the political climate going on and just know that all you can do is love these people. Really, there's nothing else to do. There's a conditional outrage that occurs within the mind, of course. But that's really unfulfilling, and it's really taxing, and it's really tough on the nervous system. And it's just, so the only thing, it's just such a perfect, and it's like it's being given to me right here, you know? It's like this one person, I'm not going to describe names, it's not before, but he, this person brings out the worst in everybody. And that's what people need to see. People need to see the worst in themselves. They think that they're looking at somebody else, that they're looking at the worst in somebody else, but that's not what's going on. They're looking upon the worst in themselves. And we need to see that. And this is a gift. So that's how we can, how I'm choosing to assimilate this. We're at the top of page 33. When you see your error and let it go, and you come back to me in faith, asking only for my knowledge, you have shown that your purpose is the same as mine. And so now you may feast. The Canaanite woman may have been satisfied with only crumbs, but it is the full feast that I shared with her, just as I share it with you now. Open your eyes and see. Listen to me. Know that I am with you in all that you do. Make me the only purpose for all you do, and you shall know me in your life, for I never turn away from you. It is you who have turned from me. I but rest with you in peace and confidence, awaiting your invitation, that I may feed you with my miracles until you are full, complete, and healed. Well, I'm going to just continue.
Well,
there was something I saw there, but I'm going to.
The only thing that I saw was that, it's that that poem, Footprints in the Sand, right? It was there that I carried you, right? Because you think that these answers, that the truth isn't there because you refuse to look. That's all that's going on. You're refusing to see it, and you're refusing to see it probably because you're afraid. You're just not practicing that faith. But the truth doesn't change. The truth is true. Nothing else is true. It's all right there in that paragraph. But,
for everybody.
Yeah.
And what I was seeing there was, I was looking at, again, it was another biblical reference, but it is a full feast that I shared with her, just like when the master hired people throughout the day, and he paid them in full, gave them full measure. At the end of the day, each and every one of them.
Two talents.
Right.
Yeah.
No matter how long
how
they work.
How long they worked, yeah.
In full measure, you know, and it's just, so it's just beautiful poetry to watch that
because it's
show
the
up
only thing
way.
That's true giving.
Yeah,
is
right.
To
it's
give
full.
All that you have. And
all
it's,
you
it's
have.
A, it's a story,
story
of the widow with the whatever, with the,
right.
a little bit of money.
Right.
Too. It's
the
same,
gave, right.
It's the same
she
idea.
She gave everything she had.
She gave everything she had.
Right.
And that's what love does.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
No fear of lack. no fear of running out, running low.
It's just that's the natural nature of love.
It just increases.
Right. It just increases. Right. It extends all the time. There is no contraction in love.
Right. Beautiful. Okay. We're at chapter 16. Rejoice with an exclamation point. For the time will come that you will know all that you ask. The time will come that you will know that death is not real, and the world is not real, and I am your reality. Rejoice and put your faith in me. Stay with your search. Seek and you shall find.
Amen.
Now I do want to go to this one sentence. The time will come that you will know that death is not real, and the world is not real. Now, I'm cool with knowing that death is not real all the time. I'm cool with knowing that. Sometimes I get angry when I realize that this world is not real.
Yeah, you want meaning.
Right.
Yeah.
You want meaning.
And
you want this
to mean
something.
And when you see through it, you're like,
right,
damn it.
Right. Yeah. There's anger that comes with that.
Yeah.
You know, all that meaning that has been assigned, all that meaning that has been invested.
Right.
And
you feel duped.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So there's, you know, and that's, you know, and that's the part, that's why it's so easy to forget, you know, that the world is not real, because I still want to believe it. I want my investment
to pay off.
To pay off.
Yeah.
Right. I go through my whole damn life being a nice guy.
For what?
Right. Okay.
And that's why, but frankly, actually, that brings us around full circle. That's why it doesn't matter what you do. It's your purpose.
Right,
doing it.
Right, yeah. Exactly, exactly. Yeah, thank you. All right. Now is a time of doubt for you, but doubts must rise if you are to let go of them. All of this is inside of you. Fear, guilt, and hatred. These things must be released if you are to know peace and light. So do not fear that you see doubt. Fear can keep you from me. Rejoice that you are doing the work I have asked. Let your fear and doubt come into your mind that you may see it. But in faith, let it go. In this way, you choose where you will put your faith. In this way, you do the work that I have asked you to do.
Yeah, of course, this reminds me, this reminds me of the idea of rest, accept, and trust.
Mm.
You know, you have to, you can't suppress it. You have to allow it into your awareness.
Absolutely.
So you just rest in whatever it is that you're going through. And that's really, you know, it's easy for me to sit here and say, just rest in whatever you're going through. But there's some hairy stuff, you know, that's just part of the human condition.
Yeah.
And the natural tendency is to want to run from that.
Yeah, right.
In whatever way, whether it's to suppress it or deny it or
escape.
Self-medicate or whatever it is.
Mm.
That's what we want to do. Because,
yeah.
You know, we're trying to protect ourselves.
Right.
And this is, so it seems somewhat unnatural to rest in whatever trauma, whatever conflict you're going through. But that's what's being asked here. Don't let this keep you from me. So let your fear and doubt come into your mind that you may see it, but in faith let it go. In this way you choose where you will put your faith. You know, it's not just a knee-jerk reaction.
Right.
So rest, accept, and trust. You rest in it, except this is how I feel now. But I trust that this is not the truth. I trust that this too shall pass.
Mm. Yeah. You know, I just looking at that and, you know, they just, when these things, when we talk about the resting part, and that is so important, just the willingness to be silent, the willingness to be silent, it feels, and to try to keep, we try to keep the balance. And when there's stuff going on in the world and these thoughts are coming and these emotions are coming in, we're trying to balance it. We're trying to balance it with just the right amount of hatred, just the right amount of revenge, just the amount of what I can do to pacify it just for now so it'll keep quiet. Trying to balance it, trying to balance all this stuff just to can I keep silent? Can I just go through the tempest, go through that tempest and just let it throw, let it keep it keeps throwing and just let, and I start to become inured to it. It starts to be okay with it. It's like I was just telling, we were talking about it before, and it's like Jacqueline was like, a penny for your thoughts. I said, I feel like it's like being, you know, it's like being a super ball in a cube that's going, you know, bouncing back, and it's like all this stuff is bouncing around, but it's like I'm not hanging on to any one of them. Just letting it do it, and so. I've always been trying to balance or to juggle three balls, you know, to keep everything, to balance everything, to keep everything in balance. And it's just exhausting and obviously unfulfilling and depressing and causes great suffering. So it's the continuity of this path is well served here. And again, I'll continue. The Spirit of God is one, and His Son is one with Him. There is no separateness. There is no Donald Trump. There is only the Father and His extension of His self, which is His Son. In this way, the Spirit of God is one, and it is whole. And I should say there is no Hillary Clinton either.
Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. The Spirit of God is one. There's nobody you got to, you know, you got to look over your shoulder and worry about.
Right. And again,
there's nothing to fear.
There's certain things that do that come up, and I keep being reminded of that movie last night. At that moment, all was forgiven in an instant, you know, and that's that. Of course, that's how I saw it. That was the message that I got from that. That in that instant, everything was forgiven because the investment was let go of so quickly. It is on your faith in my word that I shall build my church. It is on your willingness to believe me over what you see that I will heal your sight. It is oneness that you seek, and so it is the truth that you shall find. You are blessed in your search. That which is forever true cannot be overcome.
It's beautiful. You know, again, the ends and the means are one.
Mm.
It's oneness you seek, so how could you fail?
Right.
Because that's the truth of what you are, and you know, one, being one, that's
right.
The truth of what everything is.
Right.
So how could you fail source in your search for it?
Yeah, right. How could you?
No.
It's impossible. And we've been told that. And we deep down, I'm sure we know that. And sometimes we still doubt, though, just for the hell of it.
And I think we're out of time.
Oh.
Let's see. Oh, we're still in the Bible here. it's 11:29. So, as always, thanks, guys. We love you, and we love being on this path with you. We love being able to share with you, and really just thank you. Thank you for being on this journey with us.
Yeah, thanks. We really are grateful for the willing comrades. Thanks for being here, and we love you, and we'll see you next week, Lisa. Right?
Well, at least Tom will. I may be away at the fall retreat, but one of us will be here.
All right.
Maybe across the continent. Okay, love you guys. Yeah. We're gonna go. All right, bye.